Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask the same here, Lord, that you teach us to pray. Lord, how is it that we should speak to you? Lord, let us never forget who we're talking to. Lord, as much as we never want to forget that you love us when we're talking to you. Father, help us to have real conversations with you, Lord, real heart to hearts, that, Lord, our faith, our relationship with you may be strong. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. When we consider prayer, prayer today has the same problem prayer has always had with people. And that's this: when prayer becomes anything other than you talking to God, it ceases to be prayer. What we have done is we have hyper-spiritualized prayer, right? You get people, what kind of prayers do I pray for when I'm sick? You might not be familiar with that, but many people, they think that there's power in particular repetition of words. That if I string together the proper words, God will hear me better, and therefore he will bless me, right? I have to use these specific words, and God will grant me healing. I use these specific words, and God will give me money. I use these specific words, and God will allow me to have children. Do you know what that sounds like? That's pagan ritual. That's pagan spellcasting. They believe that if they used repetitions, they believe that if they said a certain kind of words in a certain kind of way, that God, that their gods would give them certain things. That is not the God we have. We do not have an abracadabra God. We do not have a stone God. We have a God who is real, a God who is intelligent, a God who knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. So you must speak to him in that way. You speak to him the way you would speak to anyone else. Remember the prophets of Baal. They went for almost the whole day hooting, hollering, cutting, repeating phrases, and Baal didn't hear a word they said. Why? Because he wasn't real. Part of their belief was that Baal would go into the underworld, and when he went into the underworld, he couldn't hear his people. Well, he must have been born in the underworld and stayed in the underworld, because he ain't ever heard a single prayer ever prayed to him. They believed that they could make a difference in their lives with these vain repetitions, these just saying things over and over and over again. While God wants us to be fervent, while God wants us to be often in our communications with him, he does not want us to treat him as though we are muttering incantations. Talk to him. As he is speaking to them, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." And that is how many people, when they pray, some men, they don't pray outside of church, but they love to pray in the church. They've got a nice deep voice, they are nice and loud, they are good at it. It almost sounds poetical the way they pray out loud in public, but there's no prayer at home. Folks, if you're not praying at home, do me a favor, don't pray here. pray at home and then come here and pray. We must be able to serve God at the house. If we're not willing to serve God, if we don't love God enough to serve Him in the house or at your house, don't bring it to His house and act like you're good old friends. Don't sit there and come in and say, oh, thank you for this, and oh, we're this and we're that, and you sound good, but there's nothing really going on. You're just putting on a play. You're putting on a performance. Instead, it would be far better for you to develop a good relationship with God at home. But there are so many people out there, that's how they pray. And you could tell it in their prayers sometimes. They're not talking to God. They're talking for us to hear. And that can never be said of us. It must be a real conversation. What is it that He tells us to do? He says, enter into a closet. Why? Because those people that pray for you to hear them, He says, they have their reward. Now, what does that mean? Oh, that was a really good prayer you prayed there, brother. People think you're a good guy. There you go. There's your reward. People think you're pretty clever. There you go. People think you're pretty deep. If there's no real conversation between you and God, that prayer is hollow. It is empty, and it is nothing but for the enjoyment of people around you, to impress the people around you. That is not how prayer should be. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So when we pray, we say, Heavenly Father, who are we speaking to? We are speaking to God. We are speaking to Yahweh, the Father in particular. Right? We are praying to the Father. And then when we close our prayers, even though the Scripture never tells us to say, in Jesus' name I pray, we put that in there. Why? Because there's one mediator we have between us and God, and that is Jesus Christ. So when we end our prayers, we are saying that, and we are sending this by the authority or by the allowance of Jesus Christ. And we want to recognize that were it not for His saving work, we would have no communication with Him. Sure, God can hear. Yes, He can hear everything. Sure, God knows what's going on. Sure as He knows everything. But real deep communication comes from those who love the Lord, who have been saved. So what does He say? He says, go into your closet. And we've talked about this a few times. Why? Well, number one, there's less distractions in there. Oh, it seems to be so many distractions. I was just talking to Brother Mike, and he asked me if I'd done a thing, and I looked back to yesterday. I said, no, something came around halfway through the day, took the legs out right out from underneath me. I had this to do and that to do, and I think I made the two phone calls I was supposed to. I was working on something else, just swept right out underneath me. And he said, well, what a bummer. These things happen. You got to minimize the distractions. You know, that's where sometimes you got to sit there with the kids and say, hey, listen, it's not all about you. Take a second. Be quiet. My mom and dad used to have to do that to us all the time. You sit my brother and I down. Hey, listen, you're being too loud. Hey, listen, you're demanding way too much attention. You know, we bought all these toys for you. Why don't you go play with them? And I've often thought about that. You know, when you get a cat, you get a cat, you got boxes. You can buy a cat a big old cat tree, and they're going to want to play in the box instead of the cat tree. We don't have cat trees. I'd really like to not have cats. But you get the box, and they'd rather play with the box. You know, your parent can buy their kids thousands of dollars worth of toys. Your last nerve is still going to be their favorite thing to play with. You know what I mean? It's just the way that it is. Hey, guys, listen. I don't need to see every time you change colors on the thing you're drawing. Show me the end product. That when you see me doing this, when you see my Bible out, it better be serious you come and bother me. When you see me praying, it better be serious when you come to talk to me. Right? We need to draw those lines. What about the cell phone? Get your cell phone put away. Oh, but that's where I keep my prayer request list. That's a terrible idea. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just a terrible idea. I've done it. That's why I'm telling you it's a terrible idea. I'm not just opinionated. I've done it. You go to lift that thing up, what's going to happen? Ding. Ding. Can I have a ride? Ding. What are we doing for dinner? Ding. What's going on? Did you see the weather for tomorrow? Ding. And it's just too much. Put it aside. When we go to do business with God, we must be serious about it. When I was at work, you know, we're thinking about 2020, when I was doing work from home, I'm in the basement, you don't come down to the basement, right? Why? Because this is my work time. We want that respect for our time for work. We want that respect for different things that we're doing in our lives. When we sit down with the Almighty Creator of all things, the Father of you and everything, we need to have some privacy. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't talk to God without privacy. There's going to be moments where I like to call them text message conversations between you and the Lord. Sometimes you're not going to sit there and shut the world down. You just got to say something to the Lord real quick. That's going to happen. You do that all throughout the day. That is the whole thing about continuously being in prayer. But when we really sit down to have conversations, make sure these conversations are serious. Make sure they are private, right? If we're praying because we're opening the service, we're praying because we're opening the service. Please, please, please do not come here and that be the only time you've prayed during the day is when we've prayed together. Make sure you've prayed often. Make sure you've prayed privately. Why? Because it is important for us to have that relationship. You wouldn't want any kind of relationship that only happens when we're getting together corporately. You think about this, you know, Thanksgiving is the one time a year I see many people maybe not necessarily related to me, but are related to Danielle. My family doesn't get together so much anymore, but we go over to Danielle's side of the family. Holidays are the one time. I said Thanksgiving is the one time I get to see this person, and some of them I get to see twice if we go over there for Christmas. That's it. I don't want that relationship with God. I don't want a relationship with God like I would have with anybody else. I want to have a good relationship with Him. I want to have a private relationship with Him. And that should be there. So what we do, we get alone. We pray to the Father. So we open up our prayers as He opened up there. Our Father. That's who we're talking to. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You know what I've often found slightly comical but a whole lot of sad about this passage of Scripture? He says, don't use vain repetitions. And what is it that a bulk majority of the religious community did? They took that model prayer and they prayed it over and over and over. As a matter of fact, if you're naughty in some religions, you got to go off to the corner and you've got to say that prayer 7 times, 8 times, 4 times. I don't know. I've never been in trouble with a Catholic church. They've never tried to punish me, but I'm sure there's a numerical value. I don't know if it's the same all the way across the board. If you got to wait, to me, I'd probably start gaming the system if I was ever raised in that kind of situation. I'd sit there and say, well, Father so-and-so, man, I know he's going to give me 10 Our Fathers, but Father so-and-so, he'll probably give me about 3. So I'm going to wait to go to confession until he shows up. It's just remarkable. Don't use vain repetitions. So they skip that and they immediately start doing the vain repetitions. What was this prayer? People say, well, it's the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord prayed many a time in the New Testament, and they were different every time. And they were specific every time. At no time did you see Him in the garden going, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. He didn't do that. What did He do? Take this cup from me, if it be your will. If it's not your will, that's what I'll do. He was specific. Specific to the point in which He was speaking. But of course, in this Babylonian type relationship that we have with religion, many people have taken it and they have put it to vain repetition. This is the problem we have with false religion. People always call you cocky, they call you arrogant. For believing that your religion is the true one. Listen, folks, if in the same chapter He tells you not to use vain repetitions, and you take what He says later in the chapter and you pray that in vain repetition, whew. Now what do we mean by vain repetition? If I went over to the closet, if I went over to my office, got down on my knees, and I prayed Our Father 10 times, what would that do? Nothing. Nothing. Do me a favor. I want you to look down at your socks for a second. I know none of you are going to look. But think in your mind, what color socks you got? What's that color doing for you? Nothing. That color was there to get you to buy them. It does nothing in the overall care of overall care of your feet, nor in the keeping them warm. It's vain. It's pretty. It's just there. It's nothing. It's Cool Whip. There's nothing really being added there. And that's what these repetitions are. They're just pretty. They don't do anything. Now, if I sit there and say, hey, Lord, listen, I'm really concerned, you know, surgery's on this date, and these are the things that we've got to do around it, and I just ask that you be there for the surgery, and maybe later on in the day I ask for the same thing. You following me? That's not vain. I may be asking for the same thing, but it is still specific to what I am doing. This weird, jangling, pretty stuff that people do to try to get a hold of God is not only wrong, not only an insult to what he has told us to do, but it harkens back to pagan practice. If we were there in the house of Baal where they would worship Baal, you would hear them repeat the same, I don't know how many prayers they had, but they would repeat those prayers over and over and over again. What is it that we call, what is it that the book of Revelation calls that woman? Calls her the whore of Babylon. Well, that's weird. Babylon fell, didn't it? No. Babylon didn't fall anywhere near as much as Rome fell. They are both alive and kicking in so-called Christian communities today. Well, what's Babylonian about the way some religions are practiced today? Well, I tell you what, I believe, as the Bible says, that God is everywhere. He's a spirit. If you've got to kneel before a statue of Jesus, Mary, Peter, whoever, to pray, that's Babylonian. Because that's what they would do. They'd get a statue, they'd pray in front of it. That's Babylonian. If you can pray in your room, if you could pray in your car, if you could pray on your roof, if you could pray in your closet, as praying to God is the way he's asked you to. If you need certain artifacts, if you need things wrapped around you or things in your hands to pray, that's Babylonian. They would often do that too. If you feel as though you need to be in excruciating pain, I knew a guy who believed that. No, you got to pray until your back hurts. Pray until your knee hurts. And then God starts listening to you. I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and cut yourself and wail. And that's how you get God to hear yourself. It's ridiculous. God heard you talking before you started talking. That's Babylonian. You don't need objects. You don't need pain. God will hear you. How many of you parents, grandparents, need your child to be in pain before you hear what they have to say? And we would think, what? God is crueler than we are? No, we would not wait for those moments. We would go to them the moment we hear discomforts, and that is how God treats us. We do not need this huge procession of things in order for our prayers to be effectual. That is Babylonian. The repetitions, things like that. Many of the things that they would do when they would come forward and kneel before an altar. Now, listen, if you've got business to do and you want to come up here and pray, I'll settle up next to you if you want and pray with you. But this whole idea of laying before an altar and praying, that is often how you would see in Eastern religions. That's often how you would see in Romish religions. That's what you did to Jupiter and things like that. Is you would stand and you would lay before the statue. And if you don't have a statue, you would do it before the altar. Can I tell you this? This, not an altar. Nothing is sacrificed on this table. Now, we get it. This is where we do the Lord's Supper. And the Lord put his blood upon the altar. But this is not an altar. Nothing is sacrificed here. Anything having to do with this table, it's all metaphorical. We do not bow to this table. Now, you want to come down? You want to do some business? Let's do some business. But the table is just here. You want to come down here and pray and have us pray with you? You come on down, pray, and I'll pray with you. But the table's just there because that's where it goes. You following me? When we need to kneel before the table, we are performing pagan practices. You could pray in that pew. You could pray in that office. You could pray anywhere in this building. We do not require added things. We do not require this this heathenistic style of conversation with God. what they said, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Listen, if you've got a fake God, it doesn't matter how many times you repeat yourself, it can't hear you. Right? We were talking on last night, we were talking about this great big temple to Zeus and Athena that's over in Berlin. They stole it out of Pergamon. And just this great thing and all the sacrifices. You know, I don't know how many sacrifices were performed on that altar, but Zeus didn't get a single one of them. You following me? Athena had no idea. It doesn't matter how many prayers were prayed in the hills and in the mountains. It does not matter. Their gods did not hear them. But they believe they did. These prayers that are prayed to saints, they do not hear them. Why? Because they are not omniscient, they are not all-powerful, and they are not everywhere. You know what? If somebody dies and they are saved, they are up in heaven, and I pray they are entirely, wholeheartedly, unbothered by what goes on down here. Listen, if you go, don't be thinking about me going, I wonder what pastor's doing down there. You enjoy heaven. I'm not even entirely sure you could see down here. But don't you waste a second for me. You go and enjoy the Father's presence and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll see you soon. You know what I mean? If they're worth looking at, you'll see them soon. And if not, down here looking at them ain't going to help you any. We've got no guarantee in Scripture anywhere that we will be looking down. Remember that old country song? There's holes in the floor of heaven and their tears are pouring down. What do we know about heaven? No one hears. I don't know if they go to Costco and get a bucket of tears to pour down there for you, but there ain't no tears up in heaven. But we come up with these weird theological ideas. We set them to beautiful things, and people buy them. Well, don't. We listen to Scripture. This vain repetition, this abundance of words, these gods don't hear. And our God's going to reject them. Again, not that you don't ask for the same thing multiple times, but we know the difference between a conversation and chanting. Are you following me on this? There's a difference between a conversation and chanting. If you would not do that to somebody else, don't do it to God. Have respect for him. Right? That's not how I get my children to come to the breakfast table. We don't sit there and say, children, 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 breakfast, breakfast, breakfast. What do we say? We say, hey, all right, it's on the table. Some of them are already there, man. Some of them are already there. We need to have a respect for God, so no vain repetitions. Some people, they make things more complicated than they need to be. I used to have a teacher. She taught the advanced EMU English course that I was in, and she used this phrase called ingfish. Now, typically, right, brother, it's fish ing. But she called it ingfish. And the reason why she called it ingfish is when you go out of your way to make something simple sound complicated. Right? For instance, follow me for a second. For instance, can I have a sandwich? That's simple. It's clear cut. It's to the point. Adding to that, two slices of bread, I ask. Apply mayonnaise, ham, turkey and roast beef. And bestow it upon me for lunch. That's complicated, isn't it? Some people, you hear them pray like this. Bringeth to me one slab of wheat baked on the coals of fire. Then grant to me another. Oh, bring together the hard-shelled work of a chicken. Mix it most violently with oil and much seasoning. Anoint these baked goods with this mayo of the nays. Cut down the swine, the cow, and the forest gobbler. Process them arduously. Press and cut the amalgamous cubes of each slaughtered beast into thin slices. Lay them upon the glazing of mayo. Bed them warmly with lettuce and tomato. And you sit there and you go, you know, there's a swifter way to say that. See, when we try to aggrandize our words, the question then becomes, who are you putting the show on for? Who's the show for? Now, we're going to talk about this. That does not mean you cut out any and all respect for God. Your conversation needs to be just enveloped with respect. But there's a difference between respect and theatrics. If you're crying, cry. If you're talking about something that makes you want to cry, cry. I hope you've all cried while you were praying at one time or another. Man, one of the best things for you. I'm just saying. If it's been a while, you're sitting, man, it's been a while since I've talked to God and I've cried. You need to start doing some real business with God, because those tears ought to be flowing every now and then. Not every time. Some people go too far with it. But oh no. If you're having a legitimate concern and you feel led to weep, you weep. We need to have respect. We also need to know what we're talking about so that we can express emotions. But mercy, let us not throw in the theatrics. So how is it then that we learn to pray? Well, quite simply, he gives us the example. Verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So after this manner, not pray this on repeat, but after this manner. He is giving us a template. We know what templates are, right? I swapped this out. I put that in there. Speaking of which, working together some things for the potential lease over there for the golf course. Talked to the golf course guy, just had a really good conversation with him. But I was putting together a lease. And I pulled down the template that I used to use for things. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff I didn't need. And I pulled it out and I took it away. Because you know what? He's not getting mail over here, so there's nothing. I don't need to put anything but a mail key in there. Just started striking things out of the template, putting things into the template that I thought were necessary. Just important stuff. And just kind of going through it. So this is what this is. It's a template. Pray after this way. Very first thing he says there, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you go to speak to God, the first thing we do is we address him with respect. Address him with respect. Man, I grew up, my parents were, you say that's Mr. So-and-so, that's Mrs. So-and-so. You call them by their names. That's not, you know, that's not Connie, that's your Aunt Connie. And my parents were very strict on that. Not that we had a lot of rules, but they were very firm on those. If I ever said hello to somebody, I had to do it right. I can't remember which one of them did it. It was probably Xander. Went up to my dad, called my dad Gramps. And I go, oh, no, no, buddy, no. Do you believe that man fell in love with that? He goes, I love it when they call me Gramps. I go, you would have never. I had Papaw, I had Grandpa. I could never get away with Gramps. But no, it's, when you go to God, you speak to him proper. Speak to him proper. We've lost respect. We've lost respect. Not just between us and God, because many of you, you said, no, I have tons of respect when I go to him. But as a society, doesn't it kind of feel like we've lost respect over things? There is no Mr. or Mrs. There is no yes, sir, yes, ma'am. There is no, as a matter of fact, to many people, that's a very offensive topic. Could you imagine growing up and believing that calling somebody Mrs. would be a hate crime? It's what it is now. You refuse to use somebody's gender in certain countries, over there in the UK, man, you find yourself with a ticket. A ticket. It's sad. But it used to be we'd have respect for people. Police officer, you see them down the street, you'd have respect for them. The mayor or somebody like that, you'd have respect for them. Nowadays, there's no respect for anyone or anything. We can't even get people to behave with the things that are made. I just kind of drove through over here. No, I'm sorry. I was taking a walk, and I was walking through over here by the bus stop. I didn't get too close to it, but just kind of walked by that bus stop that they built just a couple years ago. Wasn't that nice when they put it in? It didn't take long. Don't respect the stuff that's built. Why was that built? to keep people out of the wind, out of the rain. And what do we? Why would you disrespect that? But yet immediately somebody disrespected it. Where I grew up, they spent all this money to build a playground for us to play in the trailer park that we grew up in. Built this really nice park. Somebody set fire to one of the plastic pieces, just melted all the way down. Why would you do that? There's no respect. Folks, listen. There might not be a lot of respect in this world to each other and to other things because nobody enforces it anymore. But you come to the Lord with some respect because He will enforce it. So what do? We call God who He is. And today, the way some people in this modern day religion, the way some people refer to God is just offensive. Just offensive. Oh, we can't take things too seriously. God knows our heart. I think that's the point. God knows our heart, and it's not respectful enough. I heard somebody start a prayer by saying, "Daddy God." I'm like, I get what you're doing, but show some respect. Show some respect. And when we go to the Lord, what does it say? Our Father which art in heaven. That is where He is the King. And He's the King all over. But that's where the throne room is. So when I'm sitting and I'm talking to God, I got to remember I'm in front of His throne room. Right? I'm talking to Him. I'm in His presence, having a conversation with Him. So I'm acknowledging that. Hey, Heavenly Father, You're holy. You're wonderful. Lord, You're great. And what does He call Him? Hallowed be Thy name. Holy, set apart and perfect is Your name. Oh, Lord, thank You for the food. Thank You for this. Thank You for that. You see how we've differed from that? You know, even the way that people joke about praying before their food, right? Will somebody say grace? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Oh, God is great. God is good. And we thank Him for our food.
Make you want to reach over and slap somebody at Thanksgiving and has nothing to do with politics. It's ridiculous. When we talk to God, we ought to have some respect in our tone and we ought to have some awe in our voice. It ought to sound like we're talking to God. We used to have a bigger office, and I was the leasing manager, so I had all these leasing agents underneath me, and they had to pick up the phone. And they'd always be astounded that I could tell the difference between them being on a personal call and them being on a work call. How do you know? Well, listen, if I ever found out that you're picking up the phone to a customer and acknowledging them as, "Hey, boo," you're fired. Also, if you keep making personal phone calls in the middle of the workday, you're fired. Your tone of voice tells everything about the respect that you have for somebody. You know, when my dad calls, "Hello, yes, sir. I love you, Dad. We'll see you then." When my brother calls, "What do you want now?" You know, why are you calling me like you're mad at? Why are you talking to me like you're mad at me? I don't know. Probably saying, "Gotten over all that stuff we got from what you did from when we were kids." You know, you do that. You know, when you got a close buddy like that, you can riff off each other, and that's how you know you're talking to a good buddy, or someone who's about to punch you in the face. Whatever, but you know that you've got that ability to communicate that way. When we go to God, we need to put the utmost of respect. We've been talking so much about worship, and folks, there is worship in how we talk to God. I mean, why would you worship Him through song with these beautiful and flowing words and then just show up and give me this and give me that, and I was a good boy this year, check your list. No, that's not who God is. We come with respect. Our Father, which art in heaven, where you are sitting upon a throne, where creatures that would astound and disturb this world shout Your praises all day and all night for how wonderful You are. Yeah, you think about that. The angels aren't up there shouting His praises because He tells them to. They're not shouting His praises because it's mandatory. You ever see that those dictators, that Kim Jong-un guy? He'll walk into a soccer game or he'll walk into something like that. That man is starving them. They know that if they don't get up and he'll kill them, their family, and their neighbor. That's why they do it. Do you know why the angels do it in heaven? Because God's that awesome. Every time we've ever seen an angel, we have fallen flat on our knees. We've been terrified every time we've seen an angel for what it is. Right? Every time. Every time you see in the Bible where an angel shows itself for what it is, we are Joshua, one of the mightiest men who's ever walked the earth. And they're up there praising God because they think he's awesome. We need to put a little bit more respect in our tone and a lot more worship in our conversation. He says this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What was it that Jesus prayed in the garden? "Your will, not mine. Your will, not mine." Whatever it is I'm about to say to you, I want your way over mine. I'm giving to you my little ideas. I'm giving to you suggestions with the knowing that I've got nowhere near the intelligence nor the wisdom you have. It's like going to a doctor and saying, "I Googled this." When we bring our plans to God, that's what it is. "Hey, Lord, Wikipedia says..." That's the strength at which we're going to God with our ideas. Now, he loves you, and he often answers our prayers in giving us these things. God's good that way. But you've got to remember, when you enter into that conversation, that his way is going to be better than anything you brought forward. His way is going to be best. And you know what you do? You come forward with that respect. "Father, I have so many things to tell you, but I want you to know that I recognize your way is best. I would not fight away from your will. I would not ask you to not do something. I wouldn't ask you to do something you would not do." And hey, by the way, practice not asking God for things you know you're not supposed to have. You know you're not supposed to gamble. Don't ask God to bless your winnings. You know God doesn't care about your football game. Don't ask him to win. Don't do it. You can ask for safety. You could ask for fun. Do not be crazy and ask for a win. Could you ask for a win and he'd give it to you? Maybe, but be respectful. "Lord, your will, not mine." We used to do that with young people all the time when they'd come into the church. What I think I'd like to do is, my aunt owns a bar. She wants me to go work. Would you pray that I get this job? I will be praying about this job, but it won't be the way you want it to be. Somebody got so mad at me for that. Well, what's wrong with it? Everything. You're going to be sliding glasses across to people who are drowning in the stuff as it is. They're going to get into a car, and one day you'll hand a glass over to someone who's going to get in their car, go drive home, and kill somebody. That ain't God's will for you. I ain't got to pray about what God's will is. Would you just pray? You know, there's this opportunity for me to, give the gospel to some people at work. Just pray that God reveals his will to me. I don't have to. He already told us what his will is. He's already told you. You know, the other one that's often more often a young person thing. "Well, I'd love to marry this person. Just pray that everything works out." Bank robber, mugger, murderer, whatever. Probably ain't going to darken the door of a church until the day they die. "Well, I ain't gonna." Well, that's not very nice. "No, it's the nicest thing I can do for you." I have prayed more for common sense for people, and for myself, by the way, than I have for the things that people have asked me to pray for. Because they've asked for things that there's no way, through the knowledge we have of the word, that God would ever give to them. And if God did give it to them, it would be to punish them. Consider it. What did they want? What did the children of Israel want? "A king! We want a king! We want a king!" The Lord says, "You don't want a king. I'm telling you. We want a king! All right, have a king." Do you think he did that because he saw the wisdom of what they were doing? No, we know the Bible says he gave them a king to show them what it was like. There's some things you better be glad God did not answer your prayers. I've got a few of those I can look back on and say, if God would have said yes, I'd have never had this. I was talking to somebody just recently that when I was young, they gave me advice and I didn't like it. I said, hey, listen, this is what I'm looking to do. What do you think? And they poured cold water all over me. And I said, well, here's scripturally why that would be a terrible idea and how that's not going to go the way you want it to go. Bummed me out. And you know what? I listened. But I listened like a 4-year-old. I got to talk to that person. I reminded them. Oh yeah, by the way, thank you that when I was there, you were there. Thank you for praying for me the way that you prayed for me. Thank you for admonishing me the way you admonished me. Had God given me what I asked for in that moment, or if I was foolish and I followed through my own desires and ignored God, I would have been in pain today. Or I wouldn't have the wonderful things that I have now. Wouldn't have the kids. Wouldn't have the wife. Who knows where I would be? So you got to thank those people that take you aside and say, think again. And I've come to love that for how often that it's worked for me. When you go to godly people, when you go to smart people and you say, hey, what do you think about this? And they go, that's a terrible idea and let me tell you why. You got to thank the Lord you got people like that. Instead of doing what so many people do and they go, well, I'm not going to talk to them because I know what they're going to say. Right? Well, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. It's not. Relationships get shattered. Things get broke in that situation. You might not be able to fix or repair. We had a guy do that. He was not allowed to leave the property. If you're on the clock, you're not allowed to leave the property unless it's on business. He kept leaving the property to go get snacks and drinks and lunch. And because it was a bigger property and he had his own vehicle, we never could quite catch him. We just had no idea he was doing it. Well, he got into some trouble with his license, took off to go on one of his little excursions, and got caught by the police and was arrested for driving with whatever was going on with his license. I sat him down. I said, listen, man, I go, I've told you so many times not to do that. And you know you're not supposed to be driving like that. Why would you do it? Well, I just figured it was better to ask forgiveness than permission. I go, how much was bail? How much was bail? They impound your car? How much was that? I docked you for the whole day. How much was that? Is it really honestly better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission? And also, if you're afraid to ask God, or you're afraid to ask anybody because you think they're going to say no, let me ask you a question. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? And again, understanding this, that God is not some cosmic killjoy looking to dump on your parade. That's not who he is. Were you sitting there, what was that one comedian? God's not sitting there looking at you, oh, he's having a good time. Look at that, they're really finally starting to enjoy themselves. No, that's not who he is. The reason why he says don't do things is because it would be incredibly foolish for you to do them. And there's no getting around it. We cannot be afraid to accept the will of God, and we need to pray as though we are ready to accept the will of God. And a lot of that comes down to this. When you start praying like that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He tells an angel, go down there. You know what the angel does? He calls the angels together. Hey, listen, we're gonna show John something. He's down there in Patmos. Get together. We're going to show him something. Hey, take on human form. Go down there. Talk to Abram. Hey, the children of Israel are fighting a battle. I need you to kill the other side. I don't want a single one of my people killed. I want you to go down and kill the enemy before they even wake up. And then there's us. Don't do that. Yeah, but maybe, you know, God just wants me to be happy. Don't do that. Yeah, but if the church and the pastor doesn't find out, what could possibly go wrong? Well, you ain't worried about me. You ain't gonna worry about me. You know, and I'm gonna be in that line with you on Judgment Day. He's sitting there weighing out the stuff you did. I ain't gonna be up there going, all right, now tell me about this day. Well, I never found out about it, so I guess. Or like how I do when Melody misbehaves. If you hit your brothers and I find out about it, there's gonna be trouble. Started off with this, if you hit me and I find out about it, there's gonna be trouble. That's not the way it's going to be. You're not standing before me. You're not standing before your peers. You're standing before God who knows all things, and he very much saw you do it, and he very much knew your heart while you were doing it. So when we go to God, the very first thing we put into check, I know your will is better than mine. And if those powerful beings in heaven, even though they were given the temptation that the third of others were given, they stayed. If they're going to obey you that way, we'll obey you that way. You think we're giving God permission? We're not giving him permission. You think thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not giving God a suggestion. Hey, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful? What he wants to have done, he is having done. What he wants to have done, he is having done. You telling him that is you acknowledging in your own heart, Lord, your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. And it is a big part of our prayer lives to be able to communicate to the Lord at the very beginning, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done in my illness. Thy will be done in my concerns for the people in my family. Thy will be done in it all. We've covered a great bunch of ground here. We'll pick up more next Wednesday, Lord willing. But prayer is one of those things that we can destroy by not taking it the way that it should be. Even to call it prayer, I mean, that's the word the Bible uses. I'm not saying we shouldn't use the word, but we overabundantly use the word and we've lost its meaning. I call it Christianese. It's just one of those Christian things we say, and we don't really look down to what the word means. When we say prayer, what we're talking about is a conversation with God. And when we have that conversation with God, it cannot be for the amusement, to impress others, or to try to look good. When I pray, it is for me to have a conversation with God. The pagans, they need their repetition. The pagans, they need their symbolism. The pagans, they need attention. Us, we just need the Lord's attention. And what does he say there? I already know what your needs are. Just come talk to me. Just come talk to me. Man, we'll get up in the morning. I got a little girl who just wants breakfast. I'll be honest with you. I already know. You know, I could tell who's coming down the stairs. Did you do that in your house if you had stairs? You could tell who was coming. And I could tell by those little thunk, thunk, thunk. I go, oh boy, there's a little girl wanting breakfast. And she'll turn that corner. I go, she's going to want breakfast. And you just hear her first words come out of her mouth. Is it good morning, Daddy? Good morning, Mommy? No, it's I need breakfast. I know you need breakfast. That's the relationship we have with God. He knows what you need. He's watching you. He knows. We think we're providing some new information. He knows. But what does he want? He wants a conversation with you. And if we are going to have that as a conversation, and that's what prayer is, a conversation. If we're going to have that, we need to remember who we're having that conversation with, and our verbiage ought to make it sound like we know who we're talking to. Right? We don't talk to him like we would talk to our brothers or sisters. We wouldn't talk to God like we would talk to somebody on the street. We put a significant amount of respect without making it weird. Without making it weird. I gave that little illustration there to show you where it goes, that ingfish. When you say words to sound complicated, when more simple, to-the-point things would make sense. So balancing that up between respect and just trying to make yourself sound way more. You don't need to make yourself sound Shakespearean to talk to God, but you do have to have respect. That would have been an easier way to say it. Prayer is important, and I hope that as a congregation, we are praying often and constantly. Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for the trip that you gave us in. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe on the way home. We're thankful, Lord, for all these things that you do for us. Lord, the patience that you have for us, given your power, your wisdom, Lord, all the different things that you could do, the fact that you keep us up and going, Lord, we're just so grateful. You're so wonderful. Lord, I just ask this, that you help us as a church, Father, and as individuals, have healthy and good conversation with you all throughout the day. Lord, let us be as close to you as possible, given our location. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.